So where are we at right now, Kelly?
At this point, volunteers are obviously starting to drop off. Food donations are starting to drop off. We're, as the BAC, trying to get back to our mission. So we'll be working with the city to put a system in place if and when, more likely when, this happens again, and have them coordinate with us. We're willing to be the center because we're such a great location in Manitou, but we're in the process of figuring out what we're going to do next time this happens.
What did we learn after the flood?
I don't want to speak on Farley's behalf necessarily, but I know that the message over the last year has been to be prepared, shelter in place, get to higher ground, have a weather radio. But it's been very, very clear that each person has been, for themselves, needing to prepare. Farley did an impeccable job, an outstanding job, probably saved a lot of lives of her employees and her customers by putting together a plan with some advice from the coalition from the Upper South Platte and the city. But when it came down to it, it was being informed, having gone to meetings, knowing what you need to do and taking it seriously. And unfortunately, people were in denial and just didn't really want to believe that it could ever be this serious.
Farley, I heard anecdotes that there were still unfinished meals and half-empty glasses on the tables when you arrived to assess the damage.
Absolutely. There were pans of food still sitting on the stoves in the kitchen. That night when we went down to the restaurant, I couldn't get in, but the candles were burning inside on the tables. It was pretty strange, actually. It was surreal. And they literally just got up and took off. So I don't know if you're familiar with a commercial kitchen and the way that it looks in the middle of service, but there was containers of food left open. The steam table still had rice and potatoes sitting in it. The back dining room where the water surged, you could see where the water had actually come through the door. There was a steel beam from a house up on Canyon that had come down and come through the back dining room door. And then there was a storm surge, it looked like, that went up and rolled on the opposite wall and then came back down. In that particular dining room, all the tables were upended. The hutch was flipped over. It looked like a tidal wave had gone through there. The rest of the dining room was more like everything sitting in place and just up to the bottom of the tables in mud and water.
Hannah, you live at 10 Canyon Avenue with your father, the artist Charles Rocky. Describe what happened to your house.
We removed a lot of the oil paintings and the major sculptures, but a lot of artwork was still lost. Sculptures in the basement, and when we opened the basement door, it was about 4 feet in mud all the way back, and it's probably at least 2,200 square feet.
And I should just interrupt you real quickly and say that the back of your home and the basement backs up to the creek and Lover's Lane, where many people saw the video of the massive flooding event there as well. So
right, and he had tried to prepare by building a cement wall back there, but it just wasn't tall enough. The water just came right over the wall and knocked in all the doors and windows. So when you looked in the basement, there were like old antique rocking horses, and there were sculptures, and we were finding original pieces of art covered in mud that we had to hose off. But I have to say, on the second day, I just sat down and started crying. I thought the building had to be demolished. There was no way to move all this mud. And one of the volunteers, Jeff Contat, he said, "We're going to stay with you till this is done." And every day, about 30 volunteers came, and we're digging bucket by bucket. And where I would have wanted to stay in bed and cover my head, I would hear the tractors out back, and I would hear kids, and I would hear people. And there's a 74-year-old man helping today carry buckets. And if it weren't for all these volunteers, churches, kids, little kids, high school kids, people from the community, we wouldn't have survived this.
As far as preparing for the next event, because I think we're beyond thinking that this is somehow an isolated event, how do we need to begin thinking about this longer term?
I know for a fact that there are training starting today through CUSP. The more people who want to go out and get these trainings through the Coalition for the Upper South Platte, learn what they can personally do, fortify their properties, all for one but one for all, we are going to face this in our community for a very long time.
Farley, how are you preparing? I've heard rumors that you're going to need to move, and I know that may be a sensitive issue. What are you looking at as we go forward?
This is where, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the process moving forward is going to be. Our short-term goal is to open as quickly as possible. My concern at this point has been my employees. I have some employees that have gone back to school, but I still have about 42 to 45 people that I'm responsible for at this point, and I need to get those people working. As far as the restaurant goes, there's definitely going to have to be a decision made pretty quickly as to whether or not we would be able to stay in that particular location. Overall, I absolutely want the restaurant to remain in Manitou. Manitou has supported Adams Mountain Cafe for 27 or 28 years now, and it's as much our community as we are their restaurant.
Hannah, what lies ahead for you and your father? Have you been able to assess what kind of structural damage has been done yet?
There's some structural damage in the basement. We've got some people looking at it now. I have a concern about the mold down there because mold can do so much damage, and Dad's on oxygen already.
And your voice is hoarse from something. We don't know if it's mold. We don't. You've been down there working. And
I've been working in the basement every day. And so we're looking at trying to fortify the basement so that this doesn't happen again. We're talking with engineers about the walls. We're talking about glass blocking it in. But this basement has to be dried out and sprayed with bleach. And I worry about those kind of things. Now, whether the flood comes in through the front doors next time, I don't know, because then we could have a flood upstairs, too.
Kelly, what can folks who want to help on an ongoing basis do at this point? What's the best way to get involved going forward?
If you want to help immediately the victims and the businesses in Manitou, for now, you can write a check to the City of Manitou Springs, but put in the memo line, Victims Assistance. And the BAC.org, we will continue. As I said, we've asked for a seat at the table with all of the entities that are going to be doing the planning in the future, because we feel like just our location and our buildings and what we were able to pull off shows that this is a necessary community resource. And we've always been something of a community center. But to see the way that everything came together this week, we want to be able to help in the future. But we want to be at the table to say what we can do, because our primary mission, of course, is art, but we'll never turn away our community.
Kelly Snyder, Hannah Rocky, and Farley McDonough, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.